Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe.
That's right. That's us. Benigno and Roberts here in the midday. Joe is off today. We have our reunion on Wednesday at 10 a.m., January 2nd. I think it's going to be like our 14th year or 15th year together, which is crazy. It's crazy. Dave and Robbie on the other side. And joining us right now for the final time in the regular season to wrap up Week 17, the great Carl Banks. Carl, how are you?
I am good, Evan. How are you, sir?
Honestly, would you rather me not even start with the Giants, or would you rather me start with what was an insane, not only final 5 minutes, but final seconds of the Seton Hall St. John's game from The Rock on Saturday night, where the Johnnies, I got to admit, and I'm a little partial rooting for the Pirates, but I have to admit, you guys got a little bit hosed.
Yeah, they did. And the fact that they couldn't even reverse the call was really, really bad. That was a tough one. But look, they couldn't hit a shot down the
center. Exactly. And were the free throws? How about the two one-on-ones that they missed?
Yeah, but you know what? They still played well enough to win the game. They got the crucial rebound, and they got it saved inbounds also. But the officials saw it differently. Go Johnnies!
Yeah, you know what sucked about the whole thing? That if they don't blow the whistle at all, it's easier to go back the other way than when you call the play dead. Now, I heard a few arguments that what you could have done is, since St. John's had the possession arrow, you could have said, let's give them the basketball. It's like we're calling a jump ball. Because you can't. You could go that way. Yeah. But how about just don't blow the whistle unless you're 100% sure that he's out of bounds? And clearly, he was never out of bounds. His foot never touched the ground as he was saving the basketball.
Well, it happened. What can you do?
It was a hell of a game, though. And I'll tell you,
was a great game.
We got two pretty good basketball teams in this area with Seton Hall and St. John's.
I like that.
Before we talk about the offense and Eli, Curtis Riley. Now go on and tell me about him, because how about the lack of tackling from him? I think it was on the third touchdown to Blake Jarwin, to the point where Coach Shermer, and good for him, basically dragged him off the field after that lack of attempt.
You cannot leave somebody on the field like that. And, you know, the one thing that they're trying to instill is, you know, that whole grit that they want from their team, and they want each player to hold each teammate accountable. And that one was so blatant, like he just decided he just didn't want to do it. And so if you're trying to change the culture of a team, that's the guy you want out of here. Like, you want him out of that game. I'm surprised they didn't send him to the locker room after that play. I mean, it was just you just can't turn a play like that down. Your team is scrapping, and you're still in the game, too. And so it's just he had a rough year to begin with. He put something on tape that probably will follow him when he leaves the doors for the last time here at the Giants.
Yeah, there's no way he's coming back next year. I mean, that's...
Well, you know, he's put some stuff on tape now, too. That, you know, he hadn't had a great year to begin with. And then this is how you want to end it, with that type of effort. It'll make a lot of teams pause to bring him in.
Overall, you know, because this team played a lot of close games this year. I think they lost 8 games by 7 points or fewer. What's your kind of go-away feel for this football team, especially these last few weeks? Games they could have won, should have won against Indianapolis and Dallas. Brutal losses, but close losses. What's your feel now going into the offseason on this team?
Well, number one, to say that they only lost, you know, it's a eight games by a total of 7 points or less. Let's throw out four of those, okay, because some of them were kind of garbage.
That's fair. You're right. They came back late. Yeah, that's true.
So let's throw out four, and then you still got a 9-win team. And that tells you, you know, a kick, a play against Dallas. There were four legitimate games that they lost by 7 points or less. And you put those on the ledger, then you got yourself in playoff contention. I think the needle is pointing in the right direction for this team. I think the process of learning how to win is there, but they haven't completed it. And there's a few reasons I say that, Evan. I think where they have some players in areas, they get exploited every week by what they don't have. You know, they've yet to cover the middle of the field. And I, God bless him, Nate Stupar's in one time on I think, the second touchdown. And the tight end runs right by him, and he looks at him as if he was, you know, just making sure he was accounted for. He runs right by him into the end zone, touchdown. They've got to get that figured out, but it also means that they've got to get better talent.
Yes.
It's and you know, and I'm not killing Nate Stupar. He is what he is, but they can be better at that position. They have to be better at that position. They've got to get a better safety. They've got to get better cornerbacks. And I like B.W. Webb, and I think he'll be on the team as a third corner, which he probably should be. So there are a lot of areas. They have to get pass rushing. So there are a lot of areas that prevent them from going to the next phase. But it is what it is. I think they've changed the culture. The fact that when you see a coach take a guy out of the game because he just turned down the tackle, that tells you he's saying, I want a certain type of player on the field. I don't care how good you are talent-wise, but your effort has to be there. And that's what it is. Sometimes they're not good enough, and other times there are plays like that that cause you to lose.
Yeah. They definitely – speaking to the defense before we move on to the offense, they just need more talent. I think you're right about that. And I think that, you know, Lorenzo Carter and B.J. Hill, I think that's something to be encouraged about from what you saw from them this year. But overall, that's got to be, I think, almost the number one thing Dave Gettleman addresses, and that's just bringing in more talent on defense.
Yeah, they have to. And, you know, the thing is also when you're not – the process of learning how to win again also is also knowing that your margin of error is less than slim. So that means you have to be fundamentally sound on everything you do. And I'll give you Exhibit A of that is the game-winning touchdown by
Cole Beasley.
Right?
Yep.
So B.W. Webb has the coverage all the way until he just decides to look back at the quarterback. And as soon as he took his eyes off, they gave Beasley a step and the quarterback threw it there. Now, if he stays on that coverage, he probably pushes Beasley out of bounds legally because the quarterback's out of the pocket. But because he took one glance back at the quarterback, and that was enough for Beasley to get, you know, that half a body length in front of him, and Prescott put a good pass on him.
You know, it's funny. You look at that final drive. Cowboys get the ball down by 7. I think we all knew, hey, if they score a touchdown, they're going for 2. We kind of knew it was going to come down to that. But there were a bunch of things on that drive that screamed at me, the Cowboys are not winning this game. Like, Amari Cooper had a bad drop, and then Dak had him wide open, I think in the end zone, yeah, and he just missed him by a mile. And then it's 4th and 10, and they got a false start. There was nothing there that indicated the Cowboys were going to pull this thing out.
They should not have won, but that's the thing. The Giants, this has been their story in these types of games. They've been just bad enough. They do just the thing that allowed them to come out on the losing end of a game.
Yeah.
You know, their offense, you know, the quarterback had his moments, and then he had his bad moments,
sure,
too.
Sure.
Early on, he, you know, misread something on their first drive.
Yep.
It was a heck of a drive, and then all of a sudden he throws an interception. Can't let that one go. But overall, they put up a lot of points. They put up a lot of points against – now, this is not the Dallas Cowboy offense that set players. The Dallas Cowboys played their defense the entire game. So they put up good numbers against one of the league's best defenses. So that's something that they can take into the offseason and say, okay, we can build on some stuff. Now, they weren't perfect, and I thought it was cute. DeMarcus Lawrence posted a couple things about Eli.
Yeah.
I hope this team has the character to leave that one up and let it burn for a while and take it into next year. I hope they do. I hope the locker room is one of these locker rooms that won't forget.
Well, what I thought was dumb about that, and I think DeMarcus Lawrence is a tremendous football player. He's a free agent at the end of the year. I think there's a handful. Basically, every team in the league would love to get their hands on him.
Sure.
Why bother? You know, you're in the playoffs. You won the division. This game didn't mean anything from a standing standpoint. Why even put that in the air? Like, what's the point of it?
I don't know. But you know what? It's okay. I mean, for him to do it, because that's the Dallas Cowboy way. So I'm not mad at him for doing it. That's, you know, when they're on top, nobody does it, you know, like they do. They can brag about it. Their fans come out. I mean, listen, Giant Stadium erupted on that play, the last play of the game. You'd have thought it was a Giants team making that play. I mean, it was – they erupted on that play. So it's the Dallas Cowboy way. So you got to live with it until you change it. Hopefully, you know, these guys will let those comments burn all offseason.
Hey, I got good news for you. As bad as it was, and you're obviously in the building, I'm watching on TV, but as bad as it sounded with the amount of Cowboy fans that were there, it wasn't nearly as bad as the Eagle fans that went to D.C. There were like no Redskin fans there. It was overwhelming. Philadelphia Eagle fans and empty seats. That was the combination at FedEx Field.
Well, you know what? That's what you get, though, when you have bad years. Even here in the Meadowlands, if you have a bad year, you can expect teams that are close or teams that travel well to gobble up all those seats.
Yeah. A couple of things about this offense, because you mentioned it got off to a slow start. They had that good drive, and then Eli threw the interception in double coverage. Then there was the interception they turned into a fumble when Simonson, I think, missed a block, had a couple of punts. And then after that, the offense was in high gear. Couple of guys, Cody Latimer, made a couple of great catches in this game. You like him? Is that a guy you'd want to bring back next year if you're the Giants?
Absolutely. You want to bring him back. He's got some size to him. He can work in some spaces against, you know, smaller players. You like him. There are a lot of guys on this roster that you want to bring back. Maybe not in the roles that they're currently in, but they should have a role on the team, because what has happened this year, in the absence, the last three games, last month, with the absence of Odell Beckham, you get a glimpse at how this offense operates when they distribute the ball and who can be counted on and who can do what. And you can see, you know, the emergence of Evan Engram, Cody Latimer. There are a lot of guys that are making contributions. Obviously, Sterling Shepard. And they only are better when Odell's on the field, because he can make a few plays that those guys can't, but you can see how this offense is designed to operate.
Hey, you touched on the other guy. I think what we've seen, if you're looking for positives to the close of this season, Evan Engram's got to be one of them, because ever since he went back into the starting lineup, the game against Tennessee, I know they didn't do anything in that game overall offensively, but he had a productive game. The Indianapolis game, what we saw yesterday, a lot of progress from Evan Engram here the final 3 weeks of the year.
Well, yeah, but you know, when you remember when he was benched, and I don't think people paid a close enough attention to what the coach says. He said he's working hard and I'm rooting for him.
Mm.
That's old school. You know what that's saying? He's not quite good enough to be out there for what we need him to do. That's all that was. When the coach says he's working hard and I'm rooting for him, that means, hey, once he's ready, we're putting him out there, but we need him to be ready to do certain things when we put him out there. And you can see now that he's out on the field, he is doing more than just receiving. He's a part of just about everything they do.
Did you like seeing Kyle Uletta on the field laying out a block, or at least a half-hearted attempt at a block in front of Saquon? I think it was on the first drive of the game we saw him lined up as a wide receiver.
Shades of my old quarterback, Jeff Hostetler. He was out there in a lot of different roles, special teams, wide receiver. Until your time comes, make yourself valuable.
Yeah, why not? Now,
and listen, I don't think we should write Luleta off. I think he just, you know, he's learning. He's learning the game. What he is, I don't know. But we know that he got his first taste of NFL action, and a lot of things could have gone better. So hopefully he takes that as a sample size and starts to build on those type of situations.
Where do you put, as we sit here today, the percentage that Eli's back next year? You had 80%, 50%? Where are you?
Well, the coach wants him back. He made that clear yesterday. He also said, but I don't make decisions. He works for somebody. I would say it's greater than 50%. I'll say 80%.
How would
not just based on what's available right now, option wise?
If they draft a quarterback in the first round, Dwayne Haskins now may be the best quarterback out there because of Justin Herbert announcing he's going to stay in school. But if they draft a quarterback, which I don't think anybody would be upset about in the first round, I mean, they have a quarterback who's 38 years old. It only makes sense.
Yep.
Do you think Eli will be fine in the Kurt Warner role from a decade and a half ago?
Of course.
So you have no hesitation bringing him back, even if it's clearly. Because when you draft a quarterback in the first round, you know the deal. It's inevitable what's going to happen.
Well, yeah, inevitable. But you know who can stave off the inevitable is the incumbent, as long as he plays well. But when you start to see where he starts off here and he's somewhere else, starts to plateau, you say, okay, let's get the other guy in there. Because now it's time for the change. Now, if Eli comes out lighting it up for 8 games, and you say, okay, well, the kid's going to learn. If he plateaus on game 9, 10, and 11, you know the kid's coming in, and you make that transition. But I don't think the quarterback position here is one that'll be a tough one. If you make the right decisions in the draft, it won't be a hard transition. I think Eli knows his age. He's had a full career, nothing to be ashamed of. And when it's time, it'll be time.
We're talking to Carl Banks. What did you think? Because, I mean, as a fan, I found it really entertaining, the fact that Jason Garrett let Dak Prescott play the entire game. He didn't play Zeke. We know that right from the get-go. We didn't see Ezekiel Elliott, and he sat a couple of offensive linemen. But he played his quarterback the entire game. Did you like that in preparation for the postseason a week from now for Dallas?
Well, they know something about the quarterback that we don't. Now, I thought on the surface it was dangerous because he was getting hit. He was taking lots of sacks. But maybe they need him to be sharper going into the playoffs. Maybe they feel that he's a guy who can't take a week off and come back with limited practice and be sharp. So they wanted him game ready. And from a confidence standpoint, it proved to be pretty good. Because he brought him back and won a game. So it worked out okay. And because we don't know what Jason Garrett knows about his quarterback, we'll just have to say, well, it worked out.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have put him out there for risk of injury.
Right.
But he knows his quarterback and what it takes to get him ready.
How about Van Der Esch when he was down on the ground? I think every Cowboy fan was gasping at that moment saying, get up. Get up, because he's had a hell of a year, and that would have been a huge blow if they lost him.
Such a good player.
He is, man.
He is one heck of a football player. He and Jalen, both those guys.
Jalen Smith,
That's two of the best linebackers in football right now. We should enjoy watching those guys play for a while.
They are so dangerous in the postseason. I'm out here saying they're going on some kind of run. No. They're not going to pull an eagle, but they're dangerous because their defense is so talented. I mean, they got a lot of talent on defense.
Yes. Their defense travels, but I'm going to tell you they're not that they're not as dangerous, in my opinion, as the Philadelphia Eagles.
Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that.
I can tell you. Well, the reason being, apples to apples.
Yes.
Philly's defense is just as good, if not better, when playing well.
Mm-hmm.
And their offense is better. They execute so much better than the Dallas Cowboys. And that's no shade to you Cowboy fans, but I said it all along. Eagles get in the playoffs, they're going to scare a lot of people.
Well, I'll tell you this, Carl, I'm scared. I made an August investment, which turned out to be a smart investment, in the Chicago Bears winning the NFC Championship. I got great odds on them, and I'm a little nervous having to deal with the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday afternoon. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little nervous about this.
They are a dangerous team. And the other reason why I don't think the Cowboys are they are what they are. The quarterback makes some bad quarterback plays sometimes. He had two guys wide open.
Yep.
Wide open.
Yep.
He wasn't really under duress and missed them bad. And I said on the air, that's bad quarterbacking by Dak Prescott. But listen, he can be good and he can be bad. I think he's more prone to giving you those types of – or missing those types of plays than executing those. So I don't like them as a major threat. I could be wrong, and that's why they play the games. But I think the Philadelphia Eagles are the team that scares everybody in the NFC.
Yeah, and they're the biggest underdog of the weekend, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, yeah, but they are at 5.5.
If Foles is okay.
That's the key. You know, Zach Sudfeld is starting. I look at things a little different. Well, yeah, Nate Sudfeld, not Zach.
Different.
Nate Sudfeld.
It'll be a lot different.
Very different indeed. Carl, have a very happy new year. We will talk to you Friday, my friend.
Happy hunting for the coach.
Indeed.
Of your desire.
Oh, yes. We'll see what happens, man.
All right, man.
Thank you, Carl. Carl Banks on the Giants situation as they close out the season with a third straight loss. They lose to the Dallas Cowboys in a very exciting game, a meaningless game, but an exciting game. Your calls next, Jets, Giants, some more thoughts on the Giant game from yesterday. We'll go around the league coming up, 877-337-6666, midday show. But Ingo and Roberts till 1 o'clock.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.